This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. 11 years ago, during a class on relationships at the Findlay Street Neighborhood House in the West End, a group of African-American teenagers was asked how many of them thought they would live past 30 years old, and not many hands went up. Joe Prather Campbell, the oldest member of that class, turned 30 this year. And to give people an idea of the challenges people growing up and living in their neighborhood face, he and some of his friends produced a movie titled The Trap. And the film premieres this Sunday at the Woodward Theater. Joe Prather Campbell joins us, along with Tykia Landrum, who co-starred in The Trap, and Joan Hoxie, who served as a mentor to Joe Prather Campbell. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Tykia and Joan and Joe, thank you for joining us this afternoon. We really appreciate it.
Appreciate you inviting us.
Joe, tell me, just kind of an overview, what's the basic story of The Trap?
Well, The Trap is about a boy, and he is trapped up in a negative life of his environment, and he's trying to find a way out, but he's, like, trapped in.
So what led you to write and produce this movie?
Well, it's just, like, coming from where we're from, the West End, it's, like, either something I experienced or someone around me experienced, so I use those experiences to kind of write this story, so it's kind of, like, not all true, but it's based on true and events that happen, like growing up and things I've seen.
And this is the second movie you've produced?
Yes, the second one.
Tell me about the first one. It was what, The Last Shot was
the
first one?
Yes, The Last Shot. Well, The Last Shot was like about two boys who both played basketball and they was trying to get out of the community. And it's like one of the boys kind of fell short and the other one kind of exceeded his expectations.
Joan, you were one of the teachers of that class 11 years ago, so I'm wondering what was your reaction that so many of these young people in the room didn't think they'd make it past the age of 30?
Well, I'm just finding myself smiling because when you ask about what happened 11 years ago, it was really an opportunity for my husband and I to spend some time in the West End community, and we've been asked to do a course on relationship enhancement or life skills, and the second night we went there, we were to go on Monday and Wednesdays through the school year, and the second night we went there, we said, I had written what I thought was a absolutely wonderful curriculum, and on the way home that night, I asked, who wants to throw the curriculum out?
Okay.
And my daughter and son-in-law, who were working with us, and my husband all said yes. So the question then became, well, what is it that we're going to replace it with? What do we do now? And we had heard a bunch of young fellas who were all drug dealers. They actually had masks on their faces and so forth. It was a group that Peter Block, a few years before that, had gathered to talk about drug dealing in the neighborhood. And and he had asked this question at the end of the time with these young guys, and he said to them, do any of you have a white friend? Or do your parents, your mothers have a white friend? And they almost exclusively said no, that they did not. And so it came back to us that night that, well, that's what we'll do. We'll just go Monday and Wednesday nights, and we'll hang out with these guys. And that really became the way that we learned about them, and that they learned about us, and that we became really very close.
Joe, do you expect that relationship to form?
Oh, yes. They were very good people. It was different because it was like, instead of them kind of telling us what we should do with our life, they kind of asked us what we wanted to do. So it was like a different perspective. Usually people would come in and be like, this is what you're supposed to do. This is how you're supposed to do it. But with them, it's like they more or less listened to us. And it grew a bond that's 11 years later, it's still going on. And it's like they're not friends to me. They're family. So, you know.
What was your – you were sitting in that class.
Mm-hmm.
When that question was asked, what were you thinking? Were you one of the folks who didn't raise their hand and say you expected to make it past 30?
To be honest, I didn't know if I would make it past 30 or even to 30, but I wasn't the one of the ones who said, I don't think so. It was just more or less, I didn't know.
You just had your doubts.
Yeah, yeah, but majority of the people said they didn't think they'd make it. But yeah, I had my doubts, though.
What did you think when you saw that many people just say they didn't think they'd make it past 30?
I mean, I kind of understood because it's like so real making it to 30 where we're from. So if you make it, it's kind of like you blessed. Like a lot of people don't make it to the age, especially the men. The women more or less will, but the men is... It's so much like stuff you go through and just trying to make it through the day is just as important. So thinking 10 or 15 years, like that's like far-fetched.
Seems like an eternity, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Taikia, your brother was one of the people in that class too. And how's he doing these days?
Yes, he was. He's doing good. He graduated from college. He got his 2 degrees. So he's doing pretty good right now. Yep.
Okay. And he made it to age 30, so...
He's not 30 yet.
Not 30 yet. He's close. He's closing in, though.
Yes.
He's closing in. Tell me about your role in the movie. What part did you play?
I was actually the girlfriend to the person that was trapped. So I try to get him to see life differently. And she was a girl who went to school, trying to show him otherwise. So, you know.
Have you ever acted before?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so
just one day he just like, man, yeah, I wrote up a script and I need some actors. I'm like, sure, I try it out, and it's been going since then.
Okay, you think you want to continue acting? Is it something that you like?
I think I really do like it. Yeah, I think I will.
Did you ever expect you'd be acting? I mean, is it something?
No, not at all. No, no.
And Joe, for your part, I mean, did you ever think that you would be producing movies?
To be honest with you, I did. Since I was a kid, I already know what I wanted to do. Like, I knew I wanted to do music and I knew I wanted to do movies. So it was just with me coming up, I was so, like, quiet and shy. I just had to figure out a way to do it. So I kind of already knew what I wanted to do, like, my whole life. Like, even when I was a kid, I would make my little brothers and cousins, like, we would make home movies and stuff like that, so make music videos. So I kind of knew what I wanted to do.
And you're a musician too, right?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, you know, I make hip-hop rap music, and it's actually, you know, picking up. Like, I've been traveling lately. I just did Texas, like, March, South by Southwest. And, you know, that's my, like, first passion. I love music. It's always been a way for me to express myself, like, rather than I've never been a talkative person, so that was a way I can always express myself, be alone and just make music. Right.
Joan, how does it feel to see Joe producing movies, doing well with his musical career?
You know, all the parents in the audience will understand that. It's the most wonderful feeling. I have to tell you that when we asked about, well, what did they want to do for the summertime, because our time with them supposedly was coming to an end, and I was worried about them. By this time, they were really, really important people to me, and so I said, well, if you could do anything you wanted to do, what would it be? And they said, well, we'd like to make a movie, or we'd like to make a video. And I said, oh, I think we probably could find some people to help us to do that, because they all had stories. We could do a documentary. And they all said, oh, no, everybody can do that. And then I said, well, thinking I am now very cool, we could do a rap. And they said, no. And he said, well, I said, well, what do you want to do? And they said, we want to make a movie of the script that Joe has already written. And so, of course, we said, well, we want to see it. And I couldn't believe, this is the last shot, the first movie that we did, I couldn't believe how wonderful this script was. It was so, so true to life, and so Joe does a great job with dialogue, and it was just an incredibly good movie. And we showed it around a little bit to some folks we thought might be helpful, and they were. The biggest concern was that it is so lifelike, and of course the language of lifelike gets used in it. But that's not there gratuitously. It's there to make a point about what life is really like. So it's a wonderful feeling. I'm very excited for the guys.
Joe, do you still live in the West End?
No, I actually stay in Price Hill now. But okay. I'm still, you know, attached to the West End.
Okay. And Tyke, are you still in the West End or?
No, sir. I'm okay. In Kentucky.
Okay. But do you have a message, though, for young people who are still living in the West End that you want them to get?
Yeah, I still have family, friends, a lot of people that still stay there. But the message is, like, just if you want to do something in life, just do it. Even though it's going to be hard, it's going to be a lot of days you don't feel like it. It's going to be a lot of days you don't have the support, or you just got to keep going. Like, it's going in order, and we're still, like, considered at the bottom. We're not at the top of nothing. We're not Hollywood and none of that yet. But it's like you just got to keep on stepping, like, no matter what goes on, because it's going to be a lot of rocks thrown, all type of things. But you can't let nothing stop you. If you want it bad enough, you're going to keep going for it.
Oh, you're not Hollywood yet, but you have to start somewhere.
Yeah,
you have to take that first step. Yeah. And Tyke, what about you? Do you have a message for people in the West End, or for that matter, anybody who's living in a neighborhood where there are a lot of challenges and poverty?
Yeah. Everything you do in life is a process. So like he said, you got to stick with it. You got to believe and have faith in anything and everything you're trying to do. Keep your hopes up and, you know, look at life through everybody else's eyes and push through. When you see stuff other people see, life becomes a little bit easier because you are learning. Just don't give up and, you know, stay focused and have faith.
Joe, you faced a lot of personal challenges when you were making this latest movie.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you could tell us about what happened.
Well, the first challenge was I had lost my brother, like, maybe the next day after he filmed his part in the movie. It was like the next day. So that was like the toughest thing I probably went through, because that was the closest person to me. Like, that was the person, no matter what I knew, if I didn't have no one else, I had him. So it was kind of just like, man, probably the worst feeling in the world. But, you know, I knew I still had other people counting on me. I still had 7 other siblings. So it was like, I can give up or I can keep going, like, but it's kind of hard to keep going when the person that's next to you, the person you see yourself with, you know, when at the top is not no longer with you. So it was like, that was probably the roughest thing I went through. But I knew I had to, like, stay focused and, you know, keep doing what he would want me to do.
What happened to your brother?
He was killed in his apartment at Wright State University.
Oh, so he was actually in college.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, what were some of the other difficulties that you ran into?
I mean, you know, just at that time, just being, you know, had to be strong for my family and keep everybody else up. And then along that time, like, less than a year later, I lost my cousin, which was the star in the movie. And when I lost him, it was like, oh, man, it was like, again, like, I was kind of like, why is this happening, like, to me? And it was really tough, because, like, I'm thinking, like, man, dude, you know, I was kind of questioning God. And I was thinking, like, wow, why would he do me? Like, what do I do to anybody to deserve this? And, you know, it was kind of hard for me to really continue on with that, because not only did I lost, like, one of my closest cousins, but he was a star in the film. So it was like, at that point, it was like, man, I might just give up. But then, you know, I'm still thinking, like, well, I still have other people. Like, I can't give up. I got to keep going. I got to keep pushing. Like, so it took me longer to get back focused, but I'm like, I knew I had to do it. Like, now I got another person to do it for. And, like, along that time, just, you know, you breaking down, you going through. I had to be strong for everybody else, but when I was by myself, I was, like, at my weakest, because I couldn't show it to everybody else. If I show everybody else that I'm, you know, how would they react? So it was like, okay, I'm going to, you know, make sure that my family okay, and I can kind of, you know, handle myself. So that was real tough.
So it was just that thought of, I have other people counting on me, that kept you going?
Yeah, that kind of kept me going. And it was like, I'm still a role model to all of my younger brothers. So how can I let them down, in a sense? Like, so it was just like real tough to just look up. But in a way, even though, you know, it was a loss to me, it was also a gain, because it made me a stronger person. It made me grow. Like, I wasn't a man, even though I was an adult, that made me become a man, because after that I knew, like, if I can lose these people, and then I also lost another cousin a few years after that, but I'm like, if I can lose these people that's closest to me, nothing else can stop me from where I want to go, because I already done been through the worst. Like, it really can't get no worse than this. So I just use that as motivation. Like, I'm going to make them proud, and I'm going to do what, you know, what we always wanted to do. I'm going to make sure I get this finished.
He's been doing a wonderful job, and I used to ask him, like, how are you doing this? Like,
yeah,
I'm
amazed.
I'm like, Joe, what's going on? You know, and he's always just pushed through and kept his smile. If you call him, he'd be there. He just been tremendous, and he's a great big brother, and he's really a good guy.
We all feel that way. I think that we were supposed to be the mentors and the helpers, but we've gotten as much or more from Joe and the guys than we ever gave to them. There's a spirit that is really quite wonderful when this gang gets together, and I think we've made this movie now, and we've tried to put this premiere on because we want to honor that spirit. We'd already lost two fellas when Rel was killed. We had lost early on a great big guy that we called the Big Couch.
Yeah.
Big Mike.
who was about 7 foot tall and all arms and legs, and it turned out that he had Marfan's disease, the athlete's disease, where they have a heart attack because their heart isn't working quite right. And so when we lost Michael, we thought, well, that now we've been touched by the tragedy that these kids tell us about all the time. And we'll know it, but we didn't have any idea, really. And then not too long after that, while we were doing the first movie, one of the young men that we were so fond of, a kid who had, kind of some issues about belonging, and he decided to make himself feel better and stronger on the street, which really have to know that, that most of the kids that we see are not... They're not thugs, they're not gangsters, although they may look that way because they have to protect themselves. And so our friend bought a gun and went to a dice game, and he somehow figured out that he was being cheated. And in a previous time, he probably would have beat the heck out of the fella he thought was cheating him, but he had a gun. And that became a way of settling the score, in a sense. And so he sits in prison today while we're getting ready for this premiere.
And Joan, over the years, have you seen a common theme or a main problem that a lot of young people face in many of the city's poorer areas?
Oh, I think it's the lack of involvement of the adult men. There's just no doubt of that in my mind. That Joe said, I was a boy and then I became a man when I faced tragedy. Well, it's likely that a lot of people don't face that tragedy because they're not there, and we're not given a lot of support. You know, we think that all of the kids that make it out of the neighborhoods are kids who will be the basketball and football stars and the musicians, but there are a whole lot of other kids that don't have the talent, aspiration, or desire even to do that, and not everybody can be that. So. Just having it was one of the great sort of coincidences of our time with the guys is that it turned out to be all guys. So that tells you something about, who they were and how they want to behave. But, yeah, it's the involvement of mentors and fathers and brothers and cousins that can relate to these young fellas and know what's going on.
Jonah, what do you think about what Joe first said, that you were not telling him what to do, and not telling these other young people what to do, but you were asking what they wanted to do? What do you think about that?
Oh, I think it's absolutely crucial. It's the great lesson of these years to me about anybody who goes into a neighborhood. I don't care, what its culture is. Nobody likes to be told what to do. But everybody has an aspiration. Everybody has a dream. And we, you know, we can't ensure everybody is going to have that dream come true, but we can sure make moments of it happen. And we can help find out what that dream is. And then, you know, I think probably looking to people's strengths as opposed to their difficulties or their so-called deficiencies. We had kids who told us that over the last years have told us that no one ever approached them from the point of view of what they had or what strengths they had, who they were. But people are certainly very interested and anxious to tell you what your deficits are and what your weaknesses are. So we have a lot of work to do, and mostly with men coming into the community to work with guys. Am I right, Joe? Is that close?
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely right.
Takiya, wanted to ask you, too, with all the difficulties and the tragedy that occurred during the production of this movie, how did the cast and the crew, how did they handle it? How did they take this?
It was very tough because we was all family, no matter what. Before the movies came about, we was all family. We all grew up together, so everybody had a connection in somebody's life. So it was really a downer for us, and it was just unbelievable at that moment because it was just like, this guy was just amazing. He was a great guy, like, and we couldn't believe it. So, you know, everybody took their time, go through their grieving, and, you know, it was very hard for everyone.
Was there something you kept telling yourself to keep going?
Man, I mean, it was easier said than done. So, but it was just like, come on, man, we got to keep pushing. We got to think about what he would want us to do. And, you know, we just had to keep on pushing. But if I ain't see him weak or nothing like that, so that kept my strength to last. So if I see him smiling and stuff, I got to smile too and push through. I can't be the winkling. So, you know.
And we had the great help of Jim Prues, who has a videography business and knew certainly more than we did as amateurs, and we didn't even qualify as being amateurs.
Right, yeah.
Weren't even amateur status.
Couldn't even qualify for that. Well, amateurish we were, we knew we had to have some sort of a mic. This is in the first movie. We had to have some sort of mic that would hear the conversations between groups, not just, you know, a single dialogue. So we taped a microphone onto a broomstick, and that was one of the guys' jobs, was to stand on a stepladder and hold this mic over a group conversation. So the movie was great. The technology, not so much. Mm-hmm. So I think that we owe Jim a big vote of thanks for helping us with some of those more technical issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not only for that, but Jim is an all-around great guy. Mm-hmm. And throughout this whole process, even the down moments, he could have just gave up and be like, you know, I got better things to do, but he stuck through it. Yeah, so it's been a long process. And
very.
He really hung in there with us. He was patient, so we appreciate that a whole
Five
lot.
5 years.
Yeah.
5 years, wow. Yeah.
5 years.
What's the message you hope people take away from this, Joe?
The message is I really, like, just want just anybody, not only younger people, older people, like, you can really do what you want. Like, you can follow your dreams, or it don't always have to be nothing big, but you can do what make you happy, and it don't take a lot to do it. It just take you to get up and decide, like, I'm going to do this no matter what. Like, because if I can do it, anybody can do it. Like, I'm no different from everybody. I'm the same kid like everybody else in the West End, the same problem, same everything. So it just, you have to get up, and it's how bad you want it. That's how I look at it. So I just want to just inspire people to be like, you know, if this guy can make a movie, I can do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, Joe and Joan and Takiya, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Really appreciate it.
We appreciate you bringing us.
Very much. We hope everybody will be with us on Sunday, 5 o'clock at the Woodward Theater.
Okay, and we have a link to more information about that at WVXU.org. Joe Prather Campbell is the creator of The Trap. Takiya Landrum co-starred in the film, and Joan Hoxie, who served as a mentor to Joe Prather Campbell.